2CR Wednesday Drive with Mick. And in the studio with me is a man on a mission to find out what Australians think about the upcoming federal election. Hitchhiking from Hobart to Airlie Beach, Dan has taken the chance on strangers and democracy for what he calls Twitch Hike on ABC's Story Catchers, and he joined us in the studio this afternoon. Hi, Dan.
Nice to be with you, Mick.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Hopefully you didn't hitchhike here, because you might have just got the hang of it, and now you just hitchhike everywhere.
No, I took a ride-hailing service, and regardless, I'm out of breath, because I did a lot of running to get here, but I made it.
Oh, thanks for making it. And we, of course, tried to get you on Sunday, but you've been a bit ill recently, on Sundays in particular. So
I don't know why. I had a bout of food poisoning, and then if listeners to Radio National would hear Mark Fennell give me a shout-out and download the show for where he said I also had food poisoning. So it's been well articulated in the media, my food poisoning.
Well, it's good. It's the world of social media. Nothing's a secret. Everyone knows everything.
No, yeah, everything. Yeah, everything's out there.
Well, Twitch Hike, it's a really interesting idea. How did the idea come about to jump down to Hobart and hitchhike your way north?
In 2010, I had 10 days up my sleeve in New York City, and I thought, you know what, rather than spending 10 more days in New York City paying ridiculous rent before I fly off to England, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly to Seattle and hitchhike across. So I needed to do it in 10 days. I did it in 7. So I had 7 days, 23 rides, and no axe murderers. But I had wonderful conversations with lots of different people. And I thought, this is fun. This is really interesting. You see the country, you speak to the characters, and you get a real good sense of the people in the land and country. So I thought, why not I do that in my own country? It's very rare that I actually go travelling in my own country, as my white privileges want me to travel around the world. So I decided to pack up my bags, get out of my Bondi bubble, and go down to Hobart, where I thumbed the first ride of many to get to Airlie Beach in North Queensland. So that's exactly what I did. That's how that story came about.
That's very cool. I mean, it's something that most people wouldn't consider doing it. Just hitchhiking nowadays in general, you very rarely see it.
Well, when I pitched this story, when I came back in 2010 from my journey around the world, I pitched it to the ABC, and there was some questions about legality, blah, blah, blah. So they kind of put on the back burner, it never happened. And I was like, oh. Then I looked it up this time round, and I thought, I looked up all the laws, and hitchhiking is legal. Yeah. You just can't walk along freeways.
Ah.
So I just did it, and here's the thing. The ABC are paying so less, and they want a lot of content, so they're not paying much money these days, so they'll just take anything these days. It's great.
Well, free transport.
Legality be damned.
Did you come across any dodgy characters at all? Everyone was perfectly nice.
My first ride was outside of Hobart. They took me to the outskirts of Hobart, across to Bridgeport, and I hopped in this Ford Falcon. These two people with fluoro sunnies, and they weren't into talking. I didn't. I wasn't really into filming this first time around because it was my first ride. I didn't have all my equipment. I didn't know how to do it properly yet. But they were really interesting characters. And when they pulled up, as we went across Bridgeport Bridge, he had a radar detector in his car.
Right.
His radar detector went off, and then he leant down and picked up a breathalyzer and gave himself a breathalyzer, showed it to his girlfriend, who went, oh, yeah, that's all right. And then he went, yeah, that's all right. And then I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be an interesting trip.
Wow.
The next ride was a perfectly ordinary tow truck driver who hated Muslims and was a white supremacist. So that was totally fine. So, it was, I certainly met a lot of people who were different to me. And that was the whole point of it, to get out of my eastern suburbs, Sydney bubble, get out of my media elite ivory tower and get into the trenches with everyone else and find out what Australians are thinking. Because it's so... It's not often that we hear voices of regular Australians in Australian media, and certainly diverse Australians as well. So that's what I wanted to do, and I found some great stories and met some great people.
Yeah, I think you've definitely been successful in doing that. You've found a great range of people. You've had about 5 episodes up now, I think, on Story Hunters.
Yep, six are up.
And just the way that you found these people, obviously they've picked you up in the kindness of their hearts, and they've let you, and they've sort of opened up. They've really told you what they think about the election, or if they don't care about the election, whether they, don't vote, or they draw dick and balls on the ballot paper.
Yeah.
It's amazing how open they were.
It's quite interesting how many people said they draw dick and balls. I think there must be at least half the ballots, according to my estimates, are dick and balls. I think this is a result of...
Poor counters. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One lady, she was a single mum of eight. Big dope smoker up in Gympie. And she said, you know what? I reckon all I do is, she said, I would love to see Paul Hanson in, but when I go in to vote, all I do is draw a mouth and penis on the ballot because politicians can go eat a dick. And I thought, how is Paul Hanson going to get a seat if you don't vote properly? If you don't vote properly, these people need to vote properly if they want to see real change and be changed, you know, changed by the way of Paul Hanson or otherwise. You still have to vote properly. So anyway, look, I think, and I met 10 Pauline Hanson supporters pretty much in a row in Queensland. Wow. More Pauline Hanson supporters than I've ever met in my entire life. But I was kind of heartened by the idea that many of them did donkey votes. So maybe they were just too not informed enough to make to actually use the ballot properly. So maybe Pauline Hanson will get a Senate seat, or maybe her voters, her followers are too wrapped up in drawing penises to be able to actually acquire herself a seat.
She's attracting the voters who don't vote. It's an interesting demographic.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, that's really indicative of Australia as a whole. Mm. Along my journey, it's a very small data set, Mick. 41 people. And out of those 41 people, I would say most of those people will completely disengage with politics. So people are really annoyed with the major parties. They're not interested in Liberal Labor. They don't think their vote counts. And that's a real tragedy because unlike many other countries, their vote does count. And here's the interesting thing. A small group of people who picked me up were new Australians. About four or five lifts were new Australians who had been Australians for about 5 years or 3 years. One woman had been in Australia for 40 years. She was American, and she only became a citizen last year, so this is her first election too. And all the people who have recently become Australian citizens are so engaged. They know the policies. They know who they're going to vote for. And they value their vote highly. They see it as a sacred right because the countries where they've come from, most of these people were from South Asia, India, Pakistan, Nepal. Mm-hmm. Corruption is so rife in those places. Democracy is meaningless. But here, the Mr. Kartik from the Kartik family who picked me up in Jindabyne said, he said, you know what? Politicians here, they might do 60% of the job, but at least they do a job. And
they don't just pocket the money.
They don't pocket the money. Said, yeah. And, you know, we're very lucky in Australia, so I'm voting Liberal because I want a strong economic policy. And that family picked me up. This family had been in Australia for 7 years, for 5 years, picked me up in this BMW X5. Every seat was taken except for one. And I said, why did you pick me up? Your car is full. He said, well, we had space to spare. I said, "Why? I'm just going to waste petrol if I don't give you a ride." And on the way from Jindabyne, we went from Jindabyne to Canberra so they could show their grandmother who was visiting from Nepal, Parliament House.
Wow.
And the son in the car, Om, he's 12 years old, and he said he wants to become Prime Minister.
How great is that?
It was really great. So, you know, I saw a great spectrum. Largely, a lot of disaffected people who draw penises on the ballots. But thankfully, there was a glimmer of hope with largely disaffected people who draw penises on the ballots. In Queensland, a lot of people who hate brown people. Yeah. But conversely, it was the brown people who were most engaged in politics. So it's really, really interesting to kind of take that as a very small crumb of a snapshot and spread that right across Australia.
I think it's fantastic. I've got a question for you then. All these disaffected voters who don't want to vote, should we actually have compulsory voting in this country?
Look, I think we should have compulsory voting in this first. Compulsory voting in this country. I think the great joy of the election process in this country is that, unlike other places where there is not compulsory voting, the government of the day or the parties of the day has to make a case to
everyone.
To the people who are disengaged. And between the rich and the poor and the left and the right, you have this great section of Australia called the middle. And the middle, every election, fold their arms and look at politicians in the eye and say, what you got? Impress me. Mm-hmm. Tell me why. And it's that middle that is the most valuable. It's that disaffected, apathetic middle that is the most valuable resource in our democracy. What I like to call the bullshit detector.
Yep.
Yeah. The great bullshit detector is the most valuable thing we have in our democracy. And it's thanks to these people who are disaffected, disengaged, that we have a I think, a largely peaceful democracy.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's the best answer I've ever had to that, because I've been weighing it up in my head. Sometimes I think yes, sometimes I think no, and then, you know, that's a great answer. I think it's a matter of getting those disaffected people to actually make the effort to look into it.
The middle is the problem, and the middle is the solution.
That's it. Well, okay, the series has only got a few episodes to go.
One episode to go.
Oh, on
Friday, the final episode, all about Queensland.
Yep.
It's compressed 3 days into one episode, and walking through the streets of Childers in northern Queensland, I walked past a sign that had a photo of a One Nation candidate on it, and I saw across the road that One Nation candidate hopping in his car. So I ran across the road and said, "Hey, can I get a lift?"
Yes.
So that was polling day. Polling day where they decide what rank you are on the ballot.
Yeah.
So we went from Childers to Bundaberg and went to the Bundaberg electoral office.
Yep.
And we went through we watched the process of how you get your name in the in a good position on the ballot for election day, and it is remarkable. Basically, it's bingo. One lady is blindfolded. Oh, one person is blindfolded. Another person puts some numbers in a bingo wheel,
mm-hmm.
and the person who is blindfolded spins the wheel, and then everyone else is allowed to spin the wheel as well to make it randomize it, and then the person who's blindfolded reaches in and picks out these bingo balls, and each number is related to a candidate's name that determines the rank on the ballot, and that is mind blowing.
There we go.
It's basically bingo for democracy.
It's like pulling the World Cup balls with the hot heated balls.
Exactly. Exactly. And to witness that live and eat cupcakes afterwards was extraordinary. So if not for hearing the vaguely incongruent racist rants of Queenslanders, stay tuned for the Bingo for Democracy. 11 o'clock, iView. It launches live, and of course you can watch it weeks after.
You can go back and watch all of the episodes right now on iView. Dan Illich, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
9 days, 40 rides, no backpacker murderers.
And you've written a great article as well, which is on Medium. We can find
That's right, yeah, on the Drum and Medium. If you want to follow me, look up my Twitter handle or Facebook, Dan Illich. I'm pretty much universal everywhere.
Link to it on the podcast as well. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
Good to be with you.